Welcome back, everyone, to Cyber Mornings Daily. Today, we've got three really fascinating stories lined up. They kind of peel back the layers on how attackers are getting more creative and, well, what happens when things go wrong. We'll look at a social engineering trick using a tool we all know, then dig into a cyber attack hitting a big retailer, and finally, a data leak over in South Korea with some serious potential fallout.
Yeah, it's quite a mix today. It really shows the different angles attackers are coming from, doesn't it? You've got the manipulation of trust, the disruption of actual physical services, and then the exposure of really sensitive personal data. It's all happening.
That Zoom scenario, though, that one really struck me. Just how ingenious it is in playing on, well, human behavior.
Absolutely. So imagine this. You're in the crypto space, right? Mm-hmm. And you get this invite, looks totally legit for an interview with Bloomberg Crypto.
Hmm.
Now, the group behind it, let's call them Elusive Comet, they've really done their homework. They're setting up fake profiles, maybe on X, or sending emails that look spot on, pretending to be crypto journalists or Bloomberg.
And here's the kicker that adds that layer of, you know, believability. They use actual Calendly links to schedule these fake chats.
Right, using platforms we trust, like Calendly, that's key. It bypasses that initial, wait, is this real? Feeling for a lot of people. We see those links all the time. So yeah, your guard is down. It just shows how they weave this stuff into our normal online routines.
But the really clever bit, the part that made me go, wow, is during the actual Zoom call. So you're there expecting an interview. The attacker shares their screen and then they hit you with a remote control request. But get this, they've changed their own name in Zoom to just Zoom.
Oh, okay. I see where this is going.
Yeah. So that little pop-up box, it literally says, Zoom is requesting remote control of your screen.
Making it look like the application needs access, not the person on the call. It's smart, very clever social engineering. It plays on how familiar we are with Zoom's interface, how quickly we click OK or approve on things that look standard. That visual trick, just the name Zoom, creates this false sense of security, makes it seem technical, not dangerous.
And the second you click that approve button, boom, they're in, full control. They can immediately start grabbing files, installing backdoors for later, maybe even firing off crypto transactions right then and there. It's kind of scary how fast they can move. It actually reminds me of that huge Bybit crypto heist earlier this year. Remember that?
I do, yeah. The $1.5 billion one.
Right. And the similarity is they weren't necessarily exploiting some zero-day flaw in the software. They were manipulating the legitimate processes, the workflows. It really feels like that's becoming a major tactic, messing with how we normally do things.
You absolutely nailed it. We're definitely seeing that shift. Less focus sometimes on pure software exploits, more on manipulating people and our trust in the systems we use every day. Just like you said with Bybit and here with Zoom, the platform itself wasn't technically broken. The weak link was the human interaction, the assumptions we make. Our security is only as good as our awareness, really.
And what makes the Zoom story even more alarming, perhaps, is that a cybersecurity firm, Trail of Bits, their CEO, was targeted by this exact campaign.
Wow. Okay, so they're not just casting a wide net. They're aiming high.
Exactly. Which brings us to their advice. Based on seeing this firsthand, they basically said, look, for environments where you're handling really critical stuff, valuable digital assets, their recommendation is pretty stark. Just get rid of Zoom altogether. Use browser-based options instead.
That's a strong stance,
but
it really underlines the perceived risk, doesn't it? For organizations dealing with high-value assets, the potential loss from a compromise like this, well, it outweighs the convenience of the desktop app. Browser versions usually run in a more sandboxed environment, limiting what an attacker could access, even if they did trick you.
Makes sense. Okay, let's shift gears. Let's talk about something hitting closer to home for folks in the UK. News about a confirmed cyber attack hitting Marks & Spencer, M&S, big retailer. It's been going on a few days now. Stores are open, the website's fine, but their click and collect service, that's been hit. Delays.
Yeah, I saw that. It's a good reminder that these attacks aren't just abstract digital things. They mess with real-world services we actually use. Even something like click and collect being delayed, that's a headache for customers, and it's not great for M&S's reputation either.
Totally. They're telling people, wait for the confirmation email before you come down, which, let's be honest, kind of defeats the point of quick collection, right? M&S apologized, naturally, and they've notified the Information Commissioner's Office, the data protection folks, and the National Cybersecurity Center. So, ticking the right boxes. But right now, no real details on what kind of attack it is. and no ransomware group has put their hand up yet.
Which is pretty standard in the early days. Companies need time to figure out exactly what happened, how the attackers got in, what the damage is. For a retailer like M&S, the big worry is always customer data. They handle so much personal information. Has that been accessed? That's the million-dollar question. And yeah, just because no one's claimed responsibility doesn't mean ransomware isn't involved. Sometimes these groups wait or negotiate privately. It's definitely still on the table.
It just shows how tangled up everything is, doesn't it? An attack on their IT systems directly impacts their physical store operations and customer convenience. Even if your data isn't stolen, you might still feel the disruption. It's sobering.
It really is. And it highlights that cybersecurity isn't just an IT department issue. It's a core business risk. Fix logistics, customer satisfaction, everything.
Okay, final stop today. South Korea. SK Telecom, apparently the biggest mobile operator there, has put out a warning. They found malware on their systems that led to some sensitive USIM information being exposed for some customers.
Ooh, USIM data. That's not good. That's potentially quite serious.
Right. They detected it back on April 19th, Saturday, and they say they acted fast, deleted the malware, isolated the gear involved.
Okay. Quick response is good, but the type of data is the concern here. USIM information. We're talking about things like your MSI, the International Mobile Subscriber Identity. That's like the unique serial number for your SIM card, basically. Plus your phone number, the MSI SDN. And critically, the authentication keys. The things that let your phone actually connect securely to the network. Sometimes even SMS messages or contacts if they're stored on the SIM.
Wow. That is, yeah, a lot of really core stuff. Very personal, very exploitable. SK Telecom is stressing that so far, they haven't seen any confirmed cases where this leaked info has actually been misused, which is something, I guess. They've reported it to KISA, the Korea Internet and Security Agency, and the Privacy Commission there. Investigations are ongoing, but the potential, that's worrying.
It's deeply concerning. That MSI can be used to track a phone's location, those authentication keys, if someone gets those. It opens the door to all sorts of nasty things. Targeted surveillance, tracking movements, and the big one, SIM swap attacks.
Ugh. SIM swaps, where the bad guys trick the phone company into moving your number to their SIM card, right? And then they can intercept things like bank login codes.
Exactly. Getting hold of core USIM data, like the IMSI and those keys, makes it much, much easier for an attacker to convincingly impersonate you and request that swap. SK Telecom seems very aware of this risk, thankfully. They mentioned strengthening protections against unauthorized swaps and weird authentication attempts. They're even suspending service for accounts flagged as suspicious. Might annoy some legit users temporarily, but it's probably necessary given the risks.
And they're also recommending customers sign up for their USIM protection service. Seems like a sensible move if you're with SK Telecom. It's another reminder for all of us. Really use the security tools your providers offer.
Absolutely. Be proactive. Enable those extra security layers whenever you can. It can make a huge difference if there is a breach. This whole SK Telecom situation really drives home how critical security is for mobile operators, given the incredibly sensitive data they handle constantly.
Okay, so let's just pull back for a second. We've got Zoom attack, super inventive social engineering playing on trust. Then M&S cyber threats hitting physical services, causing real disruption, even if the full story isn't out yet. And SK Telecom highlighting just how sensitive mobile data is and the serious risks like SIM swapping if it gets out. It paints a picture of a threat landscape that's constantly shifting, constantly finding new angles. Kind of concerning, isn't it?
It is. And the common thread, especially with that Zoom example, is the focus on the human element. Manipulating trust, exploiting our habits, our workflows. It's not always about breaking the code. Sometimes it's about breaking our concentration or our skepticism. And the M&S and SK Telecom incidents just hammer home that nobody's immune. Size doesn't matter. Sector doesn't matter. The impact can be anything from inconvenient delays to potentially life-altering data exposure.
So, for you listening, what does this all mean? Well, vigilance, as always. That random email, that unexpected request, pause before you click. Be super wary of anyone asking for a remote access, no matter how official it looks. Remember that Zoom trick. Stay aware of disruptions to services you use, and definitely use those extra security features like USIM protection if you're an SK Telecom user, or similar things from your own providers. These stories just reinforce that need for constant awareness and, you know, proactive steps. It makes you wonder, what clever or frankly scary trick will they come up with next week?